outside, following to pulling. Mike Harris runs into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Vikings! It's Adrian's fourth rushing touchdown this year. It's the Vikings' first rushing touchdown in nearly a month. And the first touchdown period the Rams have given up in 9.5 quarters. First and 10, handoff Todd Gurley, tries the right side, sees nothing. And he's run down by Harrison Smith, but Gurley eludes it, and he's running the wrong way. It's a loss of 6 yards by the overzealous rookie. Brought down by Linval Joseph, 2nd and 16, Linval. Bridgewater shotgun, takes the snap, back to pass, steps up, runs up the middle, into the end zone, touchdown! Vikings to a 16-15 lead. The play action goes to Adrian. Teddy sprints out to the right. He's running to the 5. Teddy to the end zone for the 2. Teddy for 2. And it's 18-15. Vikings with 8:39 to go in the third quarter. The Vikings are even in the take give. Play action by Falls. Hey, sacked by Linval Joseph. Linval Joseph with his first sack of the season. Knocks Foles back 9 yards. It's a 40-yard drive left hash. Make the Rams 4-4 and kick the Vikings to 6-2 and an undefeated record at home. Snap, spot, right-footed Walsh, kick is up, and it is good! The Vikings have walked off winners and have won 4 consecutive games. They're undefeated at home, and at the season's midway point, your Minnesota Vikings are 6-2.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. We're sorry for the delay, folks. We're a little bit late getting the early week Wobcast up, but we were trying to get into the studio. Linval Joseph was in the hallway, and we just couldn't get around him. So it's kind of been a theme for a lot of people who encountered Linval Joseph, so we're a little bit late this week. We apologize for that. As you heard, the Vikings walked off winners, with Blair Walsh nailing a 40-yard field goal in overtime to give the Vikings a victory on Sunday, a victory that moves your favorite team to 6-2. They have won 4 straight, and they are sitting atop the NFC North with the Green Bay Packers at 6-2. Another very good day for the Vikings as they won their 4 straight. The Oakland Raiders coming up next, a road game. We'll get to the Raiders later on, but first let's tidy up some loose ends from the Vikings' win over the St. Louis Rams.
We got to get back in. We got to get back to work. We got to make sure we take care of the bumps and bruises. We had some guys beat up a little bit today, okay? And we had a bunch of other guys come in and step in and play. And Blair, had a baby. I love this team, fellas.
Fight. People doubt us. People say a lot of things about us. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going to go out there. We're going to fight, scratch, and do what we have to do to win.
In this defense, if all 11 guys are where we're supposed to be, you know, we've got an opportunity to be something really special. And that's what we did for the most part in the second half, was all 11 guys just being in the right gaps and being in the right places.
You know, this was another confident builder for us. We know it's going to be a dog fight coming in, and to win in this fashion, with the knowledge of knowing there's so many things offensively, you know, when I look at our group, that we could have done better, you know, so we're still learning. You know, I feel like that's the scary thing, but it's always good to come out on top.
It was great. Shows our team has a lot of heart, a lot of fight. You know, these guys work hard every single day. They bust their rear ends to get better. I'm proud of this football team, the way they fight and the way they compete. Even when situations don't look real good, they fight.
So there you hear from some of your favorite Vikings. That's what they sounded like right after the game on Sunday. This was a meaty victory, folks. A lot of things to talk about from this game. So we'll start with all the good things, of course. And I thought this was a rough and tumble, a physical, a hard-nosed, a hard-hitting game. And in those types of games, you need your veterans to step up. That's what the Vikings got on Sunday. Let's go through the list of players who played well, and you'll notice that they're basically all veteran players. We'll start with the running back. Adrian Peterson tops Todd Gurley in a showdown of two of the better backs in the NFL. Adrian Peterson, 29 carries, 125 yards, and one touchdown. He also had 18 receiving yards on the day. All told, your NFL rushing leader through week 9 in the NFL, Adrian Peterson. This is the 36th week in Adrian's career that he has been atop the NFL rushing charts. Remember, he is a two-time NFL leading rusher and a three-time NFC leading rusher. Right now, he is your NFL rushing leader. It will be fun to see if he can keep up that pace all game long. Adrian wore out that St. Louis Rams defense on Sunday. A big part of that effort, you have to give some credit to the offensive line, a group that we haven't talked about much this season, and that's probably a good thing. If you're not talking about the linemen, it means they're not screwing up. They protected Teddy and Sean Hill pretty well, and they blocked very well for Adrian in the running game, so good job by the guys up front. Speaking of the guys up front, let's go to the defensive side of the football and talk about a guy up front who is an all-star right now for the Vikings. That is Linval Joseph. 8 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, a half a sack on Sunday against the Rams, and when he wasn't impacting the box score, he was still impacting the game and allowing other guys to run around, make tackles, get sacks, and do their thing. Linval leads all NFL defensive tackles through week 9 in solo tackles with 26. He is having a Pro Bowl caliber season. Get to Vikings.com and cast your vote to get Linval to the Pro Bowl. The guy is on fire right now. Another guy who was on fire on Sunday, Chad Greenway, led the team in tackles with 12, already playing extra snaps because of the injury to Eric Kendricks. So Chad was playing not only base defense, but was also playing in our sub packages. Then Audie Cole gets hurt, so Chad has to play middle linebacker for the first time in his career. He figured it all out, came away with 12 tackles, one of them for a loss, and played in all 74 defensive snaps. Great job by veteran Chad Greenway stepping up. The veteran theme continues as we go to the next standout player, another one on defense, Captain Munnerlyn. I don't know if he's the best cornerback on the Vikings roster or not, but you can argue he's having the best season of any Vikings cornerback on the roster, doing a great job playing inside as a nickel cornerback, defending wide receiver screens really well. Both the Chicago Bears, whom the Vikings played 2 weeks ago, and the Rams, whom they played on Sunday, love to use the wide receiver screen, but it was not effective against the Vikings, and a big reason for that was Captain Munnerlyn. He came up clutch again. Another player who continues to come up clutch, Marcus Sherrills. Last week, it was a 65-yard punt return touchdown. That was one of the more underrated plays of the game. This week, it was a 26-yard punt return in overtime that got the Vikings offense to start at midfield for what turned out to be the game-winning field goal drive. Without that 26-yard punt return, you have to wonder if the Vikings offense would have been able to drive so easily for that field goal. So Marcus Sherrills, another underrated play, and once again comes up huge for the Vikings. Lastly, we have to mention another veteran, Sean Hill. The 13-year pro steps in for an injured Teddy Bridgewater, guides the Vikings through the fourth quarter and then into overtime for that game-winning field goal drive. Let's give him some credit for being thrust into action, stepping in, and helping to guide the Vikings to victory. Just goes to show you why it's important to have a guy whom you can trust as your backup quarterback. Hopefully, the Vikings won't have to rely on him on Sunday. Teddy Bridgewater has passed his first concussion test of the week, and we hope he keeps passing those tests and is able to go on Sunday. But if he can't, you have Sean Hill who can step in and play. Vikings defense overall, a completely dominant performance, especially once you get to the second half. Look at the last 8 possessions for the St. Louis Rams. 5 straight punts, a missed field goal, a field goal, and another punt. Only allowing 6 first downs in the second half. The Vikings have the best third down defense in the NFL. Another dominant effort from Mike Zimmer and George Edwards' group on defense, playing outstanding football right now. Really has been a mainstay in the Vikings' 4-game winning streak. And how about a tip of the cap to the red zone offense? We've been harping on them the last couple of weeks. Need to get better, need to get better. They were 0-2 last week in Chicago. This week, they were much better. 2 touchdowns on 3 trips to the red zone. And what did Norv Turner tell us last week? He said a key to improving the red zone offense would be to run the ball better between the 5 and 10 yard line. Both of the Vikings rushing touchdowns on Sunday, 6-yard touchdown runs. So Norv said we need to get better running the ball between the 5 and the 10. two rushing touchdowns from the 6-yard line. Good call by Norv Turner. Good performance by the Vikings offense in the red zone. What we didn't like from the game, well, you have to go to injuries. Anthony Barr came out with a hand injury. Hopefully he's going to be okay. Mike Zimmer didn't seem too concerned in his Monday press conference. Of course, Teddy Bridgewater suffered the concussion on the hit that everyone is talking about that was laid by Rams defender LaMarcus Joyner and knocked Teddy out of the game. We're hoping that he's going to be able to go on Sunday in Oakland. And then Audie Cole lost for the season with a leg injury. That's a big blow to the Vikings' depth. Already missing Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr gets banged up. Now you're going to be missing Audie Cole. So the Vikings' depth at linebacker will be tested here this week against the Raiders. Hopefully, Barr and Kendricks can go. That would help the Vikings' defense out a lot. If not, that depth definitely going to be tested in Oakland. And lastly, cornerback Terrence Newman also left the game and is in the NFL's concussion protocol because of a hit he took on Sunday against the Rams. So we hope he can get rested and recoup and be ready to go on Sunday against a Raiders offense that loves to throw the ball. So you need all the cornerbacks you can get. Hopefully Terrence Newman will be good to go on Sunday. But all in all, a good afternoon for the Vikings on Sunday. They win, the Packers lose. Now the Vikings and Packers knotted at 6-2 atop the NFC North. So can the Vikings actually win the NFC North? A couple of our guys from the NFL Network, LaDainian Tomlinson and Mooch, Steve Mariucci, think it's not such a crazy question.
The Vikings, as far as a football team, yes, they have the same record as the Packers. But going in the second half of the season, is there a possibility they could be better? Because it just doesn't feel that way. Are they ready to surpass the Packers in the NFC North?
I don't know if they're ready, Chris, to surpass the Packers. But I do know they have a solid football team, and they're doing the things that they need to do to win games and win close games. And I think that's because of Zimmer. Right. He has his defense playing unbelievable. They're only giving up about 17 points a game. They have not given up over 23 points in any ball game. They run the ball with Adrian Peterson, play conservative on offense. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And as long as you do that, you will have a chance to win games.
Yeah, right now they're tied with the Packers with record, and they play twice, okay? They'll play home and away with the Packers. Seems to me the Packers are hitting a little bit of a skid right now, okay? And it seems to me that the Vikings are on an uptick. They've got the runner. They've got the quarterback, provided he's healthy, and I think he will be. And they've got a defense that's playing hard. I think it's all out there for this Viking team. They got to keep it together. Stephon Diggs, this young rookie receiver, is really showing up, too. I like this team.
Circle January 3rd at Lambeau Field, Vikings at Packers. Last day of the season. That could be fun.
All right, a couple of more interesting talking points from the game. We said it was a meaty victory for the Vikings. Lots to talk about. Well, we got two more things. Mike Zimmer, a clutch, gutsy decision by Mike Zimmer in overtime. The Vikings win the coin toss in overtime, and they don't take the ball. They choose which end they would like to defend because the wind was such a factor in that game. In fact, 33 of the 39 points scored on Sunday were scored on the same end with the wind at the offense's back. So a gutsy call by Mike Zimmer, but it turned out to be the right call by Mike Zimmer. You have to give a lot of credit to the Vikings head coach Blair Walsh, who kicked that game-winning field goal. Definitely thought Zimmer made the right call.
Were you expecting your coach to take the kickoff and take the wind?
Smart. I think that shows you how smart Coach Zimmer is and how smart Coach Prefer are to take that wind. It was making such a difference. Nobody attempted a field goal or a PAT the other way, and that kind of tells you something a little bit about the way the offenses were moving and, the way the game flow was going. So he was smart to take the win in case we needed a long one. We were going to have it behind us. It was pretty brutal today, and like I pointed out, I just thought it was crazy that nobody attempted a PAT or a field goal into that wind, and that kind of says something about the way that it affects the way that, guys throw the ball, too. But it was so smart of us to take that win at the end of the game and, go for the win.
Sounds like Teddy Bridgewater is going to be good to go for Sunday, but you never know with injuries, and only Mike Zimmer provides the updates.
I feel confident. I feel comfortable in our system, and I feel confident in this team. Obviously everybody hopes that Teddy's back and ready to go. Like I said, my job description, it can change in the blink of an eye. So whatever it is, I'll be ready.
How much time is there before you learn you have to go into when you're actually taking that first snap?
A second. No, there was a little bit more. I'm to the age now where just raw emotion's not going to get me warmed up. So I stay warmed up all game on the sidelines. I throw about every other series, stretch and moving around and things like that. So if it happens, then I'm ready to go. I take snaps from the starting center before the game, you know, so that those things are so if something happens, then you're ready.
So let's take this and look at it two ways. One way it can go is Teddy is fine and he plays on Sunday against the Oakland Raiders, no worse for the wear, and we move forward. The second way this thing could go, though, is Teddy is not able to pass the NFL's concussion protocol and the Vikings have to go to their backup. Here's why you should not panic if that's the case. Sean Hill is the guy, 13-year pro. He's 16-18 as a starter. Touchdown to interception ratio of 49-30, so that's positive. Career passer rating of 85.3. If you look at the NFL stats for this season, who are some quarterbacks with an 85.3 passer rating or in that area? Matthew Stafford, Ryan Tannehill, Jameis Winston. That's the kind of performance you're looking at from Sean Hill over the course of his career, completes about 62% of his passes. So he's a guy who can come in and get you through a bind. He can get you out of a game, which he's already shown he can do by helping the Vikings win on Sunday. And he can get you through a short game stretch if you're missing your starter. So not to panic if Teddy can't go, but we're optimistic that Teddy will indeed be able to go. All right, let's take a glance around the NFC North. Now, before we get to Nate Vaughn, one thing we need to clear up. The Vikings and Packers both have the same record, 6-2. But the Packers would technically be in first place because they hold the tiebreaker advantage. The first tiebreaker to decide a division is head-to-head. Vikings and Packers haven't played. Second tiebreaker is winning percentage within the division. Not total wins in the division, but winning percentage in the division. Both the Vikings and Packers have won all of their games within the division, so they're still tied. So you got to go to the third tiebreaker, and that is winning percentage in common games. For the Vikings and Packers, they have some common opponents so far this season, and in those games, the Vikings are 5-2, the Packers are 5-1. The Packers have a better winning percentage in the common games, and therefore they get the nod of the tiebreaker. The difference is the Vikings loss at San Francisco. The Packers wound up beating San Francisco, so that's where the difference comes in. All of it doesn't matter, though. It's only week 8, so it's fun to look at the division standings. Ultimately, it doesn't matter because we still have half a season to go. All right, with that said, let's go to Nate Vaughn, and we'll take a look around the rest of the division. The NFC North update, Nate.
Hello, Wabi. Going to actually ignore all of those interesting stats you just provided.
Okay.
And just call us tied for first in the division anyway.
It's much simpler to do that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do that for now.
It wouldn't be the first time I will be ignored.
The Green Bay Packers tied with your Minnesota Vikings for first place in the NFC North. They actually fell last week, part of the reason they're tied now, to the still undefeated Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. So Carolina
dominating.
Fairly dominant. Yeah. Yep. Green Bay ended up scoring a couple touchdowns, making it closer at the end. But in the end, it was Carolina that prevailed. Carolina now 8-0. Your Packers 6-2. What do you think about the Packers? We have them coming up not this week, but the following week. And then, of course, the Week 17 showdown at Lambeau.
Well, I was feeling really, really good about the whole thing, as you said, for much of the game. I mean, I think at one point they were down 27-7. So, like, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, here I'm shrugging my shoulders. I'm, you know, we're sitting here beating the St. Louis Rams. We got the Packers struggling to Carolina, getting blown out. You know, but then the Packers do what they do and they come back. And so now all of a sudden I'm like, I think the Packers are still a pretty good team. So, you know, they had two tough games, Broncos and Panthers. Most teams in the NFL would go 0-2 in that stretch. The Packers went 0-2 in that stretch, but I don't think it's an indictment on their season. I think they're still a good team. And I think Detroit can give Green Bay all they can handle in this game, especially coming off a bye, a lost season for the Lions. But if there's any game for Detroit to get up for the rest of the way, this might be it. And so I think that'll be a good game on Sunday, but I think Green Bay is still the Green Bay that we've become familiar with. I think they're one of the better teams in the NFL, and I'm not sleeping on them just because they lost two straight.
As you mentioned, the Packers hosting the Lions this coming weekend. Yes. So could be a get-right game for the Packers, or it could be a statement game for the Lions.
I would love it if it were a statement game for the Lions. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? Because we play Green Bay the following week. So rather than hey, this game, Vikings-Packers game with the division on the line is, hey, the Vikings welcome the Packers looking to defend their lead in the division. That would be much better.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, here we go.
The Chicago Bears last night took care of the San Diego Superchargers on Monday Night Football. As you probably could have guessed, it was Zach Miller with the game-winning touchdown for Chicago. So the Bears now sitting at 3-5, Chargers falling to 2-7. What can we look at from the Bears? I mean, we played them once this year, tightly contested game, fun one for us in the end. Yep. What do you think we can expect from the Bears the rest of the year?
I think the Bears, the big thing to me with the Bears is their offensive coordinator is Adam Gase, and he was the Broncos offensive coordinator with John Fox, working with Peyton Manning the last few seasons. Of course, the Broncos move on from John Fox, and thus they move on from the rest of their coaching staff. And that John Fox staff, most of it lands in Chicago. That means Adam Gase in Chicago. And the work he's done with Jay Cutler has been really impressive. Cutler looks like a more refined player. He keeps his cool a lot more. He makes fewer mistakes. He had 2 turnovers against the Chargers. He lost a fumble and threw a pick, but he's not melting down in big moments. He's playing well, and he was probably the best player on the field against the Chargers. So that impresses me. Where I think the Bears are susceptible is defensively. They've had some injuries, they lost some players, and they're switching schemes. So all that's working against John Fox, who's a very good defensive coach and will probably have that defense squared around by this time next year, but right now he doesn't. He's got good individual players like Pernell McPhee, who can get the job done. But as a whole, I think that's where they're lacking right now. So the Vikings will have a tough game against the Bears later in the season when the Bears come here. But the advantage they will have is against that defense. It could be one of those Bears-Vikings games that winds up being a little higher scoring than you're used to seeing. That's how I see it kind of going right now.
Another thing working against them is your undefeated Vikings at home this year.
Yes. Yes. And the Vikings have played very well in their temporary stadium. We've heard all the stats about NFL teams playing poorly in temporary stadiums, not applying to the Vikings. They're undefeated at home this year, and if they can stay undefeated at home, they're going to make the playoffs because they already have 6 wins. So you figure 10 is going to get you in, 11 for sure. 10 will probably get you in. The Vikings have 4 home games left, games against Green Bay, Seattle, the Bears, and the Giants. So you pick up a couple there, you pick up a couple on the road, or you pick up 3 or 4 of those 4 home games. I mean, you know, you're going to be in good shape. So if the Vikings can defend their home turf as they've been doing, they're going to make the playoffs. One of the tasks that they'll have to do to defend their home turf is take down the Chicago Bears team again.
One team that the Vikings have taken down twice already this year, the Detroit Lions, they had their post-London game bye this past week. Mm-hmm. So resting up and taking on, as we mentioned, the Packers this coming weekend. Forgot to mention the Bears are at St. Louis weekend. So
the last 2 teams that we've played play each other this week. That'll be interesting to watch. Gurley against that Bears defense. There, what I said about the Bears defense, the Rams will test it with Todd Gurley. Anyway, you were saying the Lions?
The Lions play the Packers next week. Bears at Rams. Vikings at the Oakland Raiders.
Busy day in the NFC North. A cool part about the day for the Vikings is when we kick off against Oakland, out in Oakland, we'll already have known how Green Bay did. So they're going to be heavy favorites in that game, and you figure they're going to win the game. But for those who like the scoreboard watch, you're going to have the Lions and Packers game completed right about the time the Vikings are kicking off.
All right, now we'll take a look at your over-unders from this past week, Wobby.
Okay.
How do you think you did? Do you remember?
Well, I remember 2 of them tying together, and we won the game. So I'm going to say I was 2 for 3 with an outside shot at being 3 for 3.
Humble. I like it.
Okay.
All right. So you entered the week at 10-11. So below 500, I think, for the first time since week 2, I believe it was.
I was looking to bounce back.
Do you want to talk more about your sub-500 record, or do you want to?
No. Let's move on. Oh, okay. Let's move on to what is right in front of you, and that's how I did last week.
Sorry. Okay. The first one we took a look at is rushing yards for Todd Gurley. We put the over-under at 95 rushing yards. And why was that, Wobby?
Oh, I know why. It was because that's what he needed to match Adrian's first 6 games in Adrian's rookie season. And so we said the Vikings defense can defend Adrian by keeping Gurley below that threshold.
And they did just that.
Yes.
I mean, respectable game still from Gurley.
Yes.
89 yards rushing on 24 rushes.
Yeah. But I mean, looks like he's going to be a good player, but, you know, the best running back in the NFL was better yesterday on Sunday.
So in taking the under on 95, you were correct.
All right.
So one for congratulations.
One. Thank you.
The second one we took a look at was sacks for the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
We put the over-under at 2.5, and you took the over. Yeah. You thought we would be able to get to Nick Foles. Vikings had one sack on the day, so in taking the over, you were incorrect. But if I could throw a silver lining at you,
please
if you were willing, there were six tackles for loss.
Okay.
So, the amount of times they ran the ball anyway, it's hard to get.
And they used the wide receiver screen a ton to neutralize our pass rush. So, but, I mean, you figure that most games we're going to get over that 2.5 number, so I went down swinging. I'm okay with it.
All right, and the final one we took a look at was rushing attempts for the Vikings, not just Adrian. Mm-hmm. But the Vikings, we put the over-under at 31.5. And you thought, if we're going to grind this out and if we're going to win, it's probably going to be over.
Yep.
And you were right about all of that.
That's right.
We grounded out, we won, and it was over.
The thinking there was, if I remember, is, you know, we had averaged like 32 rushes per game in our three-game winning streak leading up to the Rams game. And the Rams, their opponents were averaging like 25 rushes a game, so a pretty big disparity. And then we looked at it one step further and we said, okay, well, who was the last team to run as many times against the Rams as the Vikings have been averaging? Well, it was the Washington Redskins, and they beat the Rams. So that was my thinking there, that the Vikings would see that and would want to try and wear this Rams defensive front out, and I think that worked out.
So total, 35 total rushes, 29 of them from number 28, Adrian Peterson.
And
so
some of the most important ones, Nate, at the end of the game in overtime, where the Vikings, all they did, I think they threw one pass on that drive, a completion to like Red Ellison or to Adrian, a short one. But other than that, it was all Adrian, and then the last run was to Asiata. So they truly did grind out an overtime victory using the running game early and often on that overtime drive.
I think grind is the right word for it, too, because what was the longest run Adrian had all day?
Oh, I got it right here. I can tell you what it was. Yeah, I don't remember him really breaking off a super long run. You know, and that's not to come at too big of a surprise. The Rams' run defense is really good. Adrian's long run for the day, 15 yards. So
not like the 47-yarder at Denver or anything like that.
Right, and Todd Gurley didn't have a super long run either. His longest was 16, so really, you know, a good job by both defenses protecting against the long run. Great job by the Vikings run defense overall. And the Vikings offensive line, Adrian Peterson, just did a little bit better than the Rams defensive front against the run. It was a physical, as we've said, grinded out, blue collar, nose to the grindstone, physical type of game. Fun to win those types of games because it gives your team a lot of confidence. And it instills a tough-minded nature in your team as well when you win games like that.
And I should commend you for your tough-minded nature and getting back to 500.
Thank
you're
you.
At 12-12 now.
You know, I think if you go down and talk to all the guys in the locker room, they'll tell you how tough I am and how they're not surprised that my tough-minded nature is what got me back to 500 in the over-under game. All right, that's all we have on the agenda for this edition of the Wobcast, but you know the drill by now. We'll be back later in the week with another Wobcast breaking down the Vikings and Raiders game hardcore, going in depth, trying to figure out how that thing is going to go on Sunday. A little bit different week here at Winter Park, folks. The Vikings play at Oakland on Sunday, so Mike Zimmer is going to mix things up a little bit. Typically, the Vikings leave for a road game on Saturday, the day before the game. This week, they're leaving on Friday. The Vikings are going to make it a two-day trip out to California, try and get acclimated to West Coast and the Pacific time zone, see if that can help the Vikings win a game out west. The Vikings have not won a game on the West Coast since 2008, zero for their last four. Vikings will look to turn that around this week. We're going to get into more of the game later in the week on the next edition of the Wobcast. Until then, go to Vikings.com, check out all of our content. Mike Zimmer was wired for the Vikings victory over the St. Louis Rams. Check that out. 96 questions with B-Rob will be up later in the week. Pick 6 and the Monday Morning Mailbag are up right now. That's our fan-generated content. fan-driven content. A lot of fun to check that out. So go to the website, check out all of that great stuff. Download the Vikings app if you haven't done that already, and all of our content will be delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. That's going to do it. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. Until later in the week, we'll talk to you next time. So, yeah, I start wearing a purple. Yeah!